By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahman rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabi Allah, wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. MashaAllah. Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to our early morning program, Rise and Shine. We're going to begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever recites Salah Durood e Paak upon me 100 times. Now, before I commence, continue with this. You know, when you hear these blessings of reciting Durood e Paak, sometimes people get scared of the numbers, or 313 times, 100 times, 1,000 times. And maybe that's because you've never actually sat down with a tasbih and recited Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and realized how long it actually takes. To recite Salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 100 times will maybe take you what? 4 minutes? 5 minutes? Probably even less. Try it. Get a stopwatch. Get your tasbih. And you realize how much time it actually takes. And then you realize that for that amount of time, such a great blessing, such a great reward, why should I not do it? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that if a person recites Salat upon me 100 times, Allah azza wa jal writes between both of his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy, he is free from the hellfire, and will keep him with the martyrs on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. What a great reward for such a small amount of effort. What is it? 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and you will be free from the hellfire. You'll be raised amongst the martyrs on the day of judgment. You'll be free from hypocrisy. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madani Channel, my humble request to each and every one of you is, make an intention to send Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and as you know, every morning at the beginning of the program, we start the program with something that we should start our days with anyway, the recitation of the Holy Quran. Let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
وَتَاللَّهِ لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ
اور مجھے اللہ کی قسم ہے میں تمہارے بتوں کا برا چاہوں گا بعد اس کے کہ تم پھر جاؤ پیٹھ دے کر
فَجَعْلَهُمْ جُذَاذًا إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ
تو ان سب کو چورا کر دیا مگر ایک کو جو ان سب کا بڑا تھا کہ شاید وہ اس سے کچھ پوچھیں
قالوا من فعل هذا بآلہتنا انہ لمن الظالمین
بولے کس نے ہمارے خداؤں کے ساتھ یہ کام کیا بے شک وہ ظالم ہے
قالوا سمعنا فتى يذكرهم يقال له ابراہیم
ان میں کچھ بولے ہم نے ایک جوان کو انہیں برا کہتے سنا جسے ابراہیم کہتے ہیں
قالوا فأتوا به على اعین الناس لعلهم يشهدون
بولے تو اسے لوگوں کے سامنے لاؤ شاید وہ گواہی دیں
قالوا أأنت فعلت هذا بآلہتنا یا ابراہیم
بولے کیا تم نے ہمارے خداؤں کے ساتھ یہ کام کیا اے ابراہیم
قال بل فعله كبيرهم هذا فاسألوهم ان كانوا ينطقون
فرمایا بلکہ ان کے اس بڑے نے کیا ہوگا تو ان سے پوچھو اگر بولتے ہوں
فرجعوا الى انفسهم فقالوا ان
تو اپنے جی کی طرف پلٹے اور بولے بے شک تم ہی ستمگار ہو.
ثم نكسوا على رؤوسهم لقد علمت ما هؤلاء ينطقون.
پھر اپنے سروں کے بل اوندھائے گئے کہ تمہیں خوب معلوم ہے یہ بولتے نہیں.
قال افتعبدون من دون اللہ ما لا ينفعكم شيئا ولا يضركم.
کہا تو کیا اللہ کے سوا ایسے کو پوچھتے ہو جو نہ تمہیں نفع دے اور نہ نقصان پہنچائے.
اُفِّلْ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ.
تُف ہے تم پر اور ان بتوں پر جن کو اللہ کے سوا پوچھتے ہو تو کیا تمہیں عقل نہیں.
قَالُوا حَرِّقُوهُ وَانصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ.
بولے ان کو جلا دو اور اپنے خداؤں کی مدد کرو اگر تمہیں کرنا ہے.
قلنا یا نار کونی بردا وسلاما علی ابراہیم.
ہم نے فرمایا اے آگ ہو جا ٹھنڈی اور سلامتی ابراہیم پر.
وَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ.
اور انہوں نے اس کا برا چاہا تو ہم نے انہیں سب سے بڑھ کر زیاں کار کر دیا.
وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ.
اور ہم نے اسے اور لوط کو نجات بخشی اس زمین کی طرف جس میں ہم نے جہان والوں کے لیے برکت رکھی.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program, and the topic today is the importance of eating halal. The importance of eating halal. A lot of people don't understand the importance of halal. And inshallah azawajal, in today's program we're going to talk about what actually is halal. How do you define halal and why do we need to eat halal food? That's the first question, is it? Why do I need to eat halal food? That's the first question. And then what is halal food? And how can we obtain halal food? And is halal food just the food or is it something more? And inshallah azawajal, please stay tuned to this program and inshallah we'll cover this topic as well. Regarding the first question, why do we need to eat halal food? Why? Good question. But I'm going to give you the answer regarding something else in our deen, regarding fasting. There was a new Muslim. He'd recently reverted to Islam. The month of Ramadan was coming upon him. And he was told that he has to fast during the month of Ramadan. So he asked a question. Why? Why do I have to fast during the month of Ramadan? Now, the first person that he went to, he said, well, I'm not sure, we'll go and see him. But went to see him. And this person said, well, the reason why we fast is that in our body, there's a buildup of toxins. And there's been a lot of research that's been done about this, that when you fast, these dangerous toxins, they burn up and they disappear. And as a result of that, fasting is good for your health. And we see now in the media that intermittent fasting and fasting, people are talking about the health benefits of that. And without doubt, there are health benefits in fasting. But this new Muslim, he said, no, okay, fair enough, I take that on board. But he was not happy with the answer. He then went to somebody else and said to him, why do we fast in the month of Ramadan? Why do we do it? And the person said that around the world, there are many, many poor people. They do not have the food, the shelter, the protection that we need. And so by fasting in the month of Ramadan, you feel that pain. You'll feel that hunger pain and you'll think about your Muslim brothers and sisters that are not as fortunate as you. And so during this month, you're encouraged to give sadaqah. During this month, you're encouraged to build a habit of giving sadaqah. And so you'll give it through you because you feel the pain that them people are feeling. And he said, well, okay, that's fair enough. And I understand that. But he still was not happy with the answer. He still was not happy with the answer. He then went to a scholar and asked the scholar, why do we fast in the month of Ramadan? Now the scholar gave a very, very simple answer. And this is the answer to a lot of our questions. Why do we fast in the month of Ramadan, he asked. And the scholar said, because Allah Azza wa Jal has instructed us, has ordered us to fast in the month of Ramadan. That is the reason. And for him, that was enough. He said, I'm happy with that now. I'm happy with that reason that Allah Azza wa Jal has instructed me to fast in the month of Ramadan. That's all I need to know. So why do we eat halal? Because Allah has instructed us to do this. And our deen is about submitting ourselves to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, following the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, nowadays we have this phenomena that's coming about that my life, my rules, it doesn't work. You cannot live your life with my life, my rules. You cannot decide to pick and choose what you're going to do. To fully submit to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal is what a Muslim does. And so we are ordered, we are instructed to eat halal. We are ordered, we are instructed to pray. We are ordered, we are instructed to fast during the month of Ramadan, pay our zakat, if we are financially capable, to go on the Hajj. These are the orders, and that is the reason why we do it. The reason why we go on Hajj is because Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered us to do it. The reason why we fast is because Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered us to do it. The reason why we eat halal food, viewers of Mandir Channel, is simple. Because Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered us to do it. Now, why has Allah Azza wa Jal ordered us to do it? The hikmah behind it, the wisdom behind it, that's all well and good, and we can discuss that. And even if we don't understand it, we don't understand the hikmah, we don't understand the wisdom, as Muslims, we submit to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so as Muslims, we fast during the month of Ramadan, as Muslims, we pray 5 times a day, and as Muslims, we should live our life in such a way that we earn a halal income and we eat halal food. So the most important factor, the most important reason why should we eat halal is because Allah Azza wa Jalla has instructed us to do it. If for no other reason, and maybe we can discuss this all day why, but for no other reason, because Allah Azza wa Jalla has instructed us. And as a Muslim, that is should be sufficient for all of us. Viewers of the channel, we're going to go to the break, and inshallah, we're going to go to the kalam of the day. And inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue and talk a little bit about, after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about what actually is halal food. How is Allah Azza wa Jalla instructed us in the Quran regarding halal food? And then inshallah, we'll take it from there. So let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Taiba, taiba, taiba.
شاہی کچھ جنت بنا
مدینہ حضور کا.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers of Madhi Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and I hope you enjoyed that kalam as much as we did here in the studio. Very relaxing. I closed my eyes, and I think if we continued listening to it, I might have fallen asleep. Alhamdulillah, very, very relaxing. Alhamdulillah. Viewers of Madhi Channel, on Rise and Shine today, we're talking about the importance of eating halal. And before the break, we mentioned the reason why. Simple, because Allah Azza wa Jal instructs us to do this. But the word halal is an Arabic word, and it means that whatever it means allowed, it means permissible. So whatever is allowed, whatever is permissible, is called lawful in Islam. The opposite of halal is haram, i.e. unpermissible, not allowed. So we understand that this is what the word halal means. So what is allowed? What is permissible? Allah Azza wa Jalla says it in the Quran, O you who believe, eat the good things that we have provided for you. Eat the good things that we have provided for you. And in this verse we see that Allah Azza wa Jalla has provided for us a huge variety of good things. That Allah Azza wa Jalla said, lawful to you are all the things that are good and pure. And in these verses, Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us that halal to Muslim consumption are all the items that are good and pure. That is to say, that anything that is not good and pure is haram, and Muslims should avoid them. So in today's term, when new things come along, where we find that new things such as certain drugs like cannabis, heroin, crack, whatever it is, these are not beneficial to us, they are harmful to us. And anything that is harmful to us will ultimately be haram as well. So although there are certain things that are prescribed to us in the Quran, the scholars will, if any new thing comes along that is not beneficial to us, they will also say that this is haram as well. And one thing that we're all aware of, you know, as brothers within Dawat Islami, the viewers that are watching, if you are actively involved in Dawat Islami, then one of the things that you find whilst working with people or meeting people is that you will find out what type of sins they are involved in. And what happens is, you'll find those people that are involved in gambling, you'll find those people that are involved in drugs, you'll find those people that are involved in adultery, theft, burglary, you know, GBH, all of these crimes or sins they will be involved in. But very rarely do you find a Muslim that's involved in the sin of eating pork. And that is because from a very young age, he's been indoctrinated and told that pork is haram. Pork is the one animal flesh that is haram for Muslim consumption. Allah Azza wa Jalla says to us, forbidden to you for food are dead meat. An animal that dies, once it's died, if it's not been slaughtered, you cannot eat the dead meat. Blood. People make food out of congealed blood, or they drink blood, astaghfirullah. Again, this is haram for us. The flesh of swine, we mentioned that earlier on. That on which has been invoked the name of other than Allah Azza wa Jalla. That which has been killed by strangling. If you strangle an animal, then that meat is haram for you. That animal that has been killed by a vicious blow, that animal that has been killed by a headlong fall, or by being gored to death, that which has been partly eaten by a wild animal, unless you can slaughter it before it dies, that is which is sacrificed on a stone. So this is haram for us. These are the things that are haram for us. Forbidden also are the division of meat by raffling, by gambling. You know, if you gamble people meat away, then this is haram for us. So these are all the things, views of Manichal, that are haram for us. And so we should make sure that we stay away from them. Now you may say that you do, but in here, you know, we live in a life nowadays where we purchase goods that are pre-made. You know, we don't just go out and buy vegetables, buy flour, buy the raw materials, so to speak. We buy flour, we buy oats, we buy the meat, we buy the salt, we buy the pepper, we buy all these things. We buy things that are already ready-made. For example, biscuits, cakes, and other dishes, you know, the pre-cooked dishes even, you know, freezer foods, microwave foods that you just put them in the microwave and you cook them and 2 minutes later you can eat them. Tin food, all of these things, we buy these things now. And then because we buy these things, we need to check that are they halal? And this is something that is very, very important to check. Now what happens is, here in the West, we'll pick up some food. And because we do not know all of the different things that are haram, all the different additives that are haram, we look for a certain sign. We look for something on it that, does it say halal? Or does it even say suitable for vegetarians. But if it says suitable for vegetarians, as Muslims, we feel confident that this is halal for us. But that's not necessarily so, viewers of my channel. Because alcohol is also prohibited in Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that alcohol is an intoxicant. Anything that is an intoxicant, anything that is khamar, anything that is intoxicant is forbidden for us. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says that all you who believe, intoxicants and gambling, they are an abomination of shaitan's handiwork. Avoid such abomination that you may prosper. It's an abomination of shaitan's handiwork. Because alcohol is something that befogs the mind. And as a result of that, you can commit all sorts of sins. So this as well. And so when we are buying food, we need to not just check that is it suitable for vegetarian. We need to check if it's halal. And there's a difference. And unfortunately, here in the West, we don't think there's a difference, but there is. Because does it have any alcohol in it? Does it have any alcohol in it? And that is something very important that we need to check in every food that we buy. Because alcohol is forbidden for us. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, we're riding the phrase that it is shaitan's handiwork. And because of this, the dire consequences of drinking alcohol, as a result of that, we said that all sorts of sins can be committed. And so we should stay away from alcohol. But one of the things that is also the beauties of Islam, one of the most incredible things about Islam that I personally have felt, that in Islam, it is not just a cure to all our illnesses, it prevents all our illnesses as well. Nowadays, there are certain people that will say to you that, look, if you just drink one glass of alcohol a day, you know, just one glass, it's good for your health. You know, there was a famous story that someone, he was a student of a great scholar, and at the end of his time, when the time came to pass away, he lost his iman, he rejected the Quran, he rejected Islam, and after he passed away, his teacher, he mourned. And when he was mourning during that time, he was mourning for his student. He saw him in a dream. And he said to his student that, you had such a high status. Why did this happen to you? And he said, on the advice of a doctor, I drop one glass of alcohol every year for my health. One glass a year. And because of that, he lost his iman. So the beauty of our deen is, one, we should follow it. Number two, it prevents the illness. It's not just the cure of the illness. Some people will say to you today, it's okay to drink one glass of alcohol. Islam says, no. Some people will say to you today that if you are going to have drugs, then don't share the needles. Islam will say, no drugs. Some people will say to you, if you're going to have relationship outside of marriage, then take the precautions. Islam will say, no relationships outside of marriage. It'll put a full stop on everything. It'll prevent the illness happening. Because what happens is, for example, we're talking about alcohol. You take one glass of alcohol, it can lead to two, it can lead to three, it can lead to more. Islam puts a stop to it. No alcohol. Full stop. No drugs. Full stop. No relationships outside of marriage. Full stop. Don't even creak open that door. Don't even go through that door. Don't even start to look at that door. No. And this is the beauty of Islam. It prevents us. And if you think about these things, viewers of my channel, if you think about these things, like I said at the beginning, that Islam tells us to submit ourselves to the will of Allah. And Allah knows what is best for us. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the creator. He knows what is good for us. Unfortunately, nowadays, today, some of us think we know what is better. We think we know better. We think we know better than Allah Azza wa Jalla. Astaghfirullah. Oh, this is good for us. Oh, some people will say, you know what? That was because 1400 years ago, it wasn't like this, it wasn't like that, and because of that. No. It doesn't work like that. What was prohibited to us, what was instructed to us, through the final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, what was instructed to him 1400 years ago was beneficial then, is beneficial now, and beneficial to the end of times. It doesn't go out to date. It'll never go out to date. The instructions of Allah are there for all time. The benefits are there for all time. You may get variants in intoxicants. Like I said, you may have certain drugs that come along, cocaine, hash, cannabis, whatever these drugs are called. But to stay away from them, anything, Allah Azza wa Jalla told us that they are hamar, anything that befogs the mind, anything that changes the state of the mind, is classed as an intoxicant. And so we stay away from them to protect our iman and submit to the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So our deen is not old-fashioned. Our deen is current, it's up to date, it's futuristic, it's there till the end of time, and we need to follow it and we need to listen to it. So this is again a shaitanic whisper that we think we know better. Yeah, what's wrong with a little bit?
No. What's wrong if I have, you know, one cigarette of cannabis? What's wrong if I have one of this? What's wrong if I have one of that? What's wrong if I have one glass? I'm not going to get drunk on one glass, am I? You're going to take a lot more to get drunk, innit? So what's wrong with one? Because one, you are being disobedient to Allah. That's what one is. A sip of alcohol is being disobedient to Allah. Let alone we can say that one leads to two, two leads to three, and so on and so on and so on. And you may say, no, I have a strong reserve. I won't get two. I'll make sure I don't drink two, you know, because I'm going to drive home and I don't want to lose my driving license. So I'll make sure. That's fair enough. But even that one is haram for us. Even that one sip is haram for us. So we need to stay away from whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has prohibited us. These alcohol, the drugs. And we can talk all day about the effects of alcohol. We can talk all day about the effects of drugs. And nowadays, even people are talking and they are, you know, the scientists are coming up with the medical harms of eating pork. They'll tell you it's the most unclean flesh. That it's the most flesh that has the most diseases in it, the most bacteria in it. We don't need to know that. You can tell us all these things. You scientists can tell us the ill effects of porn. You scientists can tell us the ill effect of eating dead meat. You scientists can tell us the ill effects of eating anything that's made of blood. You can tell us about the ill effects of alcohol and drugs. Fair enough. But to be honest, we don't need to know. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal told us through the final messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the glorious Quran that this is prohibited for us. And as Muslims, that should be enough for all of us. Views on the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the reminder of the day. But inshallah, Azza wa Jal, when we come back, we're going to talk about another important aspect of halal. The halal food is not just the ingredients in the food. It's something much more. So inshallah, we'll discuss that after break, inshallah. So let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu alil Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has written in Tafsir al-Kabir. Let's listen. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "Man mata ala hubbi ali Muhammadin mata shahida." The one who died upon the love of Ahlul Bayt, he died as a shaheed. Mat. And then further it was said, "Ala wa man mata ala hubbi ali Muhammadin mata maghfuran lah." Listen, the one who died upon the love of Ahlul Bayt, his sins will be forgiven. And then Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam further said, "Ala wa man mata ala hubbi ali Muhammadin mata ta'iba." The one who died upon the love of Ahlul Bayt, he died as the one who repented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then further said, "Ala wa man mata ala hubbi ali Muhammadin mata mu'minan mustakmilal iman." Listen, the one who died upon the love of Ahlul Bayt, he left this dunya with complete faith, with mukammal iman. And then further said, "Ala wa man mata ala hubbi ali Muhammadin basharahu malakul mawti bil jannati thumma munkarun wa nakir." Listen, who died upon the love of Ahlul Bayt, Sayyiduna Israel alayhi salam, malakul maut and munkar and nakir, angels give him the glad tidings of Jannah. "Ala wa man mata ala hubbi ali Muhammadin yuzaffu ila al jannati kama tuzaffu al urusu ila bayti zawjiha." The one who died upon the love of Ahlul Bayt, he is sent with such honor and respect towards Jannah, the way a bride is sent towards the house of his groom. Allahu Akbar. And then further it was said, "Ala wa man mata ala hubbi ali Muhammadin futiha lahu fi qabrihi baban ila al jannah." The one who died upon the love of Ahlul Bayt, for him the two doors of Jannah are opened in his grave. "Ala wa man mata ala hubbi ali Muhammadin ja'ala Allahu qabrahu mazara malaikati ar-rahmah." And listen, the one who died upon the love of Ahlul Bayt, the angels of Rahmah come and visit his grave after his death. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is what you attain when you love Ahlul Bayt. This is what you get when you have the true love for the family of the Prophet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that when we die upon the love of Ahlul Bayt. And inshallah, we'll be written as shaheed. Inshallah, the doors of Jannah will be open for us. Inshallah, we'll be amongst those forgiven. Inshallah, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, angels will come and visit our graves. Inshallah, and my Islamic brothers, we will have the glad tidings of Jannah. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we will leave with mukammal, complete iman and faith, and we will leave this world as a forgiven and the one who has repented. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to attain all such blessings. What we have to do, all we have to do, to have love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love of Ahlul Bayt, love of Sahaba, love of Awliya Allah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mashallah. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, the early morning program. And today we're talking about the importance of eating halal. The first part of the program, we actually talked about what actually is halal. How do we define what is halal and why do we eat halal? And again, the simple answer, I'm going to keep on reiterating it, is because Allah Azza wa Jal has instructed us to do this. However, halal is not just the ingredients in the food. It's something much more. And I'll give you an example. Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ta'ala was a businessman. He was a trader. And he would trade in cloth. And he had a salesman. And one day, he said to his salesman that, you know, this cloth that I have got, this certain cloth, it has a defect in it. When you sell it to the people, tell them, make them aware of this defect. Make them aware that it has this defect in them, so that they are aware of this defect before they purchase it. So he told him. And sometime later, when Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, had realized that that cloth had been sold, he asked his salesman, that, did you tell the person that there was a defect in the cloth? And the salesman said, no, ya Sayyidi, I forgot to tell them. Now, as a result of that, Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, that same amount of cloth, he gave that away in sadaqah. He gave that away in sadaqah because now in his heart it felt that he had sold something that is a defect without informing the person. And so that income is not halal then. So he gave that money away in sadaqah, that cloth away in sadaqah. So from this we realize that it's very important that we also examine our income as well. Because whatever we eat, whatever food we eat, it costs money. Where does that money come from? How do we earn that money? Has that money been earned in an halal way? Because that halal money, producing halal food, has an impact on us. Has a great impact on us. Imam Ghazali, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, stated that when a Muslim eats the first morsel of his halal food, his previous sins are forgiven. And the person who goes to a place of humiliation in search of halal food, his sins fall like the leaves of a tree. So it's very important that our food is not only halal, but the food has been earned. The money has been earned in a halal way. And Imam Ghazali here is telling us that even if we go to a place of humiliation, if you go to a place that you're working to earn a halal income, but that place might be physically dirty, or that place might be, you know, might be in a state of society where people will say, oh, it's a very low job, that I wouldn't do that job, but you're doing it because you'd rather do that than earn haram elsewhere. You're doing it to earn an halal income. Then Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ta'ala said that that person, his sins will fall like the leaves of a tree. So as Muslims, it is very, very important. And this is something that I feel that as Muslims, we don't look at. We're starting to create an awareness now. Within the Muslims, there's an awareness to look for the halal sign. Look for the suitable for vegetarian sign. Make sure it doesn't have alcohol in it. We have all these and we think about these now. Alhamdulillah, it's good. It's good that we have this mindset. But at the same time, do we examine where that money comes from?
Do we examine where that money is coming from? Do we look at our income? We're told that, you know, our scholars said that we should shari scan our jobs. Shari scan our businesses, the money that you're earning, the businesses that you're running. Are they shari compliant? Allah forbid that you're making good money, but it's all halal. Then what? So it's very important that we eat what is halal. And Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us regarding eating a halal. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayat number 88. I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman. And eat from the sustenance which Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to you, the lawful and the pure, and feed in Allah whom you believe. In another ayat of the Quran, Surah Baqarah, ayat 168, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O mankind, eat from what is lawful and pure in the earth, and do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Undoubtedly, he is your open enemy. Allahu Akbar. In tafsir of Siratul Jinan, it states that halal and pure means that thing which itself is at, which is halal itself, such as goat meat, vegetables and lentils, and which is also obtained from lawful means. It must not be obtained by theft, bribery and robbery, etc., or any other unlawful means. So it's very important that we have an halal livelihood as well. Not only the food, but the importance of our halal livelihood is there for us. Sayyidina Yahya bin Mu'az, Rahmatullah ta'ala, said, the obedience is hidden in the divine treasure, and dua is the key to the door leading to his treasure. Halal food is the teeth of the key. If the key has no tooth, the door of the treasure will not be opened. Then how could one manage to get access to the obedience hidden in? Therefore, protect, I be careful about, the morsel you eat, and purify your meal so that you will find the noor of your virtuous deeds, not the darkness of bad deeds after you have died. Refrain from the sin of consuming haram so that you could gain the pleasure of never-ending blessings. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said with regards to this, eat and drink with pleasure the reward of what you sent ahead in the past days. And whoever, we are told that whoever does not refrain from consuming haram, he will eat the hot and bitter poor fruit after remaining hungry for a very long time. It will be extremely bad and a harmful food, which will break the heart into pieces and will rip the liver and tear the body, causing unimaginable severe pain. This is the punishment for eating haram food, getting it from a haram way. So we must learn. We must learn what is halal, what is haram. We must make sure that we live according to our deen. We need to know that a Muslim who feeds halal to his family leads a peaceful and a prosperous life. Those who earn and eat halal gain a special status amongst people. Those sins of those who earn and eat halal are forgiven and the prayers are accepted. Maybe nowadays we say to ourselves, why are our prayers not accepted? You know, a lot of people say, well, I do dua every day, I pray every day, but my prayers are not. Why are they not accepted? We need to look at ourselves. And we need to look at ourselves in so many different perspectives. You know, we're talking today about haram food. We're talking today about haram income, about halal income and halal food. But maybe there are other sins that we are committing. Lying, cheating, backbiting, hurting the heart of another Muslim, hurting the feelings of another Muslim. All sorts of sins we are committing. And yet we wonder why our du'as are not accepted. Maybe we need to change. Without doubt, we need to change. We all need to change. We need to improve ourselves. There is great excellence, views in the channel, in earning halal and eating halal. And the one who likes to keep describing and listening to it, for motive, I'm going to listen to, give you some hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so it will motivate you into eating halal and earning halal. We are told that whoever eats halal for 40 days, Allah Azza wa Jalla will brighten his heart and will make the springs of wisdom flow out of his tongue. I.e., he will say words of wisdom, and Allah will guide him in the world and the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to us that Allah will not just guide us in the hereafter, but he will guide us in this dunya as well. If we eat halal. If we eat halal, we get it from a halal substance. Whoever earned lawful wealth and then ate himself and wore the clothing obtained from that earning and fed other creatures besides himself, such as family and other people, and made them worth clothes, then this deed of him is a blessing and a purity for him. So here we're told not only about the food, but our clothes that we are wearing. Are they obtained from a halal income? Sayyidina Sa'ad, radiallahu ta'ala humbly said to the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, O beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala sallam, pray that Allah azza wa jal answer my prayer. The Holy Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam said to him, purify what you eat and your prayers will be answered. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Madri Channel, some very, very simple formulas there for us to enable us to live our life in such a way that we have an halal income. We eat halal. You know, we wear halal. The clothes that we are wearing is coming from a halal income. The water that you're drinking, you know, you might say, well, it's free here in the West, but you're paying water rates. That water that you're drinking, the money that you pay for that, has that come from a halal income? The heating in your house, the electricity in your house, your car, your clothes, everything, has it come from a halal income? These are the things that we need to ask ourselves. So Islam is not just about staying away from pork. Like I said at the beginning, you will very rarely find a Muslim. And when we have met people on the street, we very rarely, in fact, I've never found a Muslim that will say that, oh, I commit the sin of eating pork. But if you were to sit down with him, that same person who doesn't eat pork, he might take drugs. That same person who doesn't eat pork might drink alcohol. That same person who doesn't eat pork might not take any other precautions. When he buys his food and he buys his cakes and his biscuits and all the other things, and he doesn't care whether it's suitable for vegetarians or not, whether it's halal or not, he doesn't care at all, but he will not eat pork. So Islam, my views of Manchana, when we talk about eating halal and not eating haram, it's not just pork. It's so much more. It's all these other things that we mentioned, and it's also the fact that the money that's raised, that's obtained to be able to purchase these things. So for us to just take the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, I stay away from pork, but there's so much, but the iceberg is still underneath. The huge iceberg, we need to know this. Have we ever checked whether our income is halal? Now, sometimes what happens is, we may think that our income is halal. Our job may be jais, it may be an halal income. There are many, many jobs and many, many businesses in the world, but even then, there are certain precautions that we need to take. Amir al-Sunnah has written a booklet. I think it's called the 50 precautions that a worker, an employee needs to take. For example, you turn up late for work, but you're paid for the full day. You're during your work time, you're busy on social media. You're on your phone talking to your friends. You sneak off to the toilet. You spend more time on your break. All these things that you're not supposed to be doing in your work time, and you do them. So now ask yourself the question, is that income halal? No. So there are huge precautions that we need to take whilst we are working as well. You may be in an environment where you can say, yes, alhamdulillah, my job is halal. I've asked the scholars, and they said, this income is okay. And many, many examples. But if during that period of work, the things that you do, they, as a result of them, they bring about this haram income, then what? So Amir al-Sunnah has given us this booklet, and I advise you to download this book, the 50 Madani Pearls of Earning and Halal Sustenance. Download this booklet. It's available in English. This booklet is available in English. Download that book. Read it. And spread it to people. Send it to other people as well. Send it to your colleagues, your friends. And inshallah, as a result of your action, if they can stay away from haram food, from haram income, from haram sustenance, if they can stay away from this, then inshallah, you will get the reward as well. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the reminder, the hadith of the day, I believe. The hadith of the day. Inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue talking about this topic. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Today we're going to hear some signs of hypocrisy. The famous servant of the Prophet, the companion Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, relates that he heard the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, this is the salah of a hypocrite. He sits and waits for the sun until it comes between the two horns of Satan, meaning which is about to set. He then stands, pecks four times, and does not remember Allah in this except a little. Now, three rulings derived from this hadith. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi expertly explains this hadith. The three rulings that have been derived from this are, firstly, it is a sign of hypocrites to offer asr prayer near its end during the makruh time due to being engrossed in worldly business. Secondly, 20 minutes before sunset is considered the prohibitively disliked time, meaning the makruh time. One should offer salah within the recommended mustahab timing. The third ruling is that one should perform ruku' and sujood calmly and with serenity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam likened the hastily performed sajda of a worshipper to the pecking of a rooster when it hastily pecks at grains on the ground with its beak. Dear viewers of Madani channel, salah should be offered calmly and with serenity because we are prostrating in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has its respects, its boundaries, the ways to offer salah. All of these have been mentioned in books. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to properly perform salah. Ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Viewers of the channel, you're watching the early morning program Rise and Shine here from our Bradford studios. And today we're talking about the importance of eating halal. But at the same time, we're also talking about what is halal. And we're also talking about the fact that, you know, it's not just eating halal, but also being aware of making sure that the money that we earn to purchase that halal, that food, is halal as well. And that is also something that as Muslims, unfortunately, we do not consider on our day-to-day routine. Alhamdulillah, today we are blessed. I am blessed. I'm not too sure about you, but alhamdulillah, we're all blessed. MashaAllah, we have a guest online, Hafiz Noshat, all the way from South Africa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hafiz, today we're talking about the importance of eating halal. And we've mentioned what halal is, and we've mentioned the verses of the Quran, we mentioned those things that tell us, you know, that this is halal. And we've also mentioned our halal sustenance, our halal livelihood as well. But Hafiz, mashallah, you're in South Africa, and, you know, it's a Western country as such. I want to basically, you know, take some advice off yourself for our viewers that, you know, as people in the West, what extra precautions do we need to take to ensure that our food is halal, to make sure that it's, because, you know, when you're living in a Muslim country, when you're living in Pakistan, when you are blessed that you go to the sacred lands, then whatever is there, you take it for granted that it's halal. And so you just eat it. You don't ask, you don't check, you don't query. But here in the West, what precautions should we be taking, not only to the food, but also to our livelihoods as well?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as-salatu wa alayhi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, this is something which is one of those things which are so important for us as Muslims, that we must ponder, we must consider that the next step I'm taking, the next morsel I'm taking, that it is guaranteed from a halal source. And you are very right in saying that if you're in a Muslim country, and alhamdulillah, I had the privilege of also staying in Pakistan, in Bab al-Madinah, and you don't question, you don't look for a halal certificate or certification as you would do in a country like South Africa or maybe another Western country. Before you go and eat at an outlet or any restaurant, etc., we have to actually check, is there a halal stamp? Because we have certain halal bodies that supervise the meat products that are being sold, or the dishes that are being sold at the different takeaways and restaurants as well. So we have to check for the certification, and we have to look that, you know, the date is not expired, because there have been incidences in a major food outlet that was displaying certification of a halal body, but the date was expired and they were no more certified. Now, Muslims now, how many of them, they just see halal, alif, and lam, halal. And the person may think that, hey, subhanAllah, it's halal and no issues. We have to question. We don't have that privilege of, you know what, just walking in anywhere and just sitting and dining. So, you know, we have to take our precautions. We have to ask those questions. We cannot feel like, you know, hey, maybe those people will think I'm biased or something. No, that's not a question about that. We have dietary laws. We have boundaries, the do's and the don'ts, the halal and the haram, the jais and the najais. We need to know these things. We need to enforce it in with wisdom, of course. Now, one thing we've realized that many Muslims, especially the younger generations, they don't pay a lot of attention to this. So something is missing somewhere. Either the parents are not educating them, or the elders, the society is losing that. But you know what? Not just halal food, but halal living, halal, you know, avenues of earning wealth. You know, people want fast money, and many a times that fast money is through some illicit or haram means. But how many of them have that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm going to be, maybe for example, selling these drugs or gambling or whatever else it is, and that money I'm going to be buying food to consume and to give myself energy, or maybe for my family members. Don't you think that will have a negative impact? I think about it, even logically as well. If maybe the breadwinner of the home is earning that which is haram, and with the same money, paying the water bills, water lights, rates, buying the food, and nourishing his children with that. And if those same children end up becoming rebellious and speaking back and running away, then we must think that what happened? Did I not do that because of earning haram and nourishing them with haram sustenance as well? So we have to think about these things as Muslims.
You know, Hafsab, back in the 90s, I'm showing my age now. I'm an engineer by trade, and so I've worked all around of UK. I've traveled all around the UK. And so when I was traveling all around the UK, I used to have to obviously eat. And I would find what I thought was the local Asian restaurant. But at that time, we didn't have the certification. We didn't have the halal stickers on the windows. So I would go in, and although I felt maybe the owners might be embarrassed, I would always ask. I would always ask the manager, is it halal? I still remember going to one particular restaurant, and I went into the restaurant, I sat down to have some food, and the person came and I said, brother, I don't, you know, don't take it the wrong way, but I need to ask this, is the food halal? And he said to me, brother, the chicken is halal, but the meat is not. And I said, okay. And I, for a few seconds, I paused. And then he said, hold on a minute. Oh, no. He said, no, I got that wrong. He said, the meat is halal and the chicken is not. And I thought to myself, you know what? This brother himself is not sure. So I said, brother, can you just bring the dal? Bring me the lentils, yeah? So alhamdulillah, I think because of marketing, that, you know, people see this sticker, that's been beneficial to us. And previously, unfortunately, I don't want to mention it, but I had a lot of experiences, Hafsab, where I went to places that had, you know, Muslim names on the name of the restaurant. I actually remember going to one particular place, and the name of the place was Al Amin, and yet inside, when I asked them, they said, sorry, brother, it's haram. So I walked out. So I've survived a lot on chips and things like that in this country, and jacket potatoes when I was working away from home. So alhamdulillah, I think as we move forward, I think life has become a little bit easier, that we have this halal certification. But something that you mentioned, which is very, very important, and to be honest, I didn't think about this, that people maybe get the halal certification, but are they still halal? Are they still up to date? And so I'll be honest with you, I don't check the dates.
Because, you know, many a times when you check the date is like a year expired.
Allah,
and
Allah,
they still display that, although, you know, they're not affiliated anymore with that halal body.
Yeah.
So we always check for the date. You know, this is something our dear viewers and listeners as well, we must insist on this. We must not shy away.
This is our deen
we're talking about. This is our iman. We believe that halal is the only way. So we must ask. Okay. They want us to patronize, or rather to be patrons of their facilities. We are paying that money. So the least they can do is be honest with us, not be deceitful. You know, Khalid bhai, we traveled in a Madani Qafila maybe about 2 years back to another country in Southern Africa. And I'm telling you, it was such a mission to get a halal outlet. And finally, when one of the locals told us, you know what, you can try this place, but there could be some issues there. The food is halal, but it's up to you. So we're thinking, oh, what is he talking about? So our qafila goes to this place. And okay, we see the halal sign. We don't see any halal body stamp. So we inquire inside. And they say, yes, yes, we are Muslim owned. We are halal. But one side, we have our alcohol and our wine to cater for the non-Muslims. We say, thank you very much. And we were out from there. So, I mean, this you know, what is happening? I mean, don't
again,
we just...
Again, a lot of people don't take that into consideration. You know, here in the UK, there are a lot of, you know, restaurants that serve alcohol as well. But because the food is halal, people think, oh, the food's halal, I'm not going to touch the alcohol. Again, so these are the sort of things. But I remember, you know, once, Hafizab, I was working in a very remote place, and it was literally a village. And I came out after work to look for something to eat. And I had some sandwiches with me, but I wanted some warm food. And I went past a restaurant, and as soon as I saw it, something in my heart said to me that, you know what, this won't be halal, right? And so I looked at the door, I looked at the window, I looked at the menu, you know, outside, and I thought, no. And I didn't even go in to ask. I don't know why, but I decided not to go in to ask. So I started to walk away. And as I was walking away, someone came out and said, Assalamu alaikum. And I turned around, and obviously I replied to the salam. And he said, brother, please come back. So I came back. And somehow, I don't know how, for some reason, he must have read my mind somehow. He said, brother, our food is halal. And I said, okay. And he took me in, and he took me around the back, and he showed me all the receipts and all the certificates. All the, you know, he said that it's not just getting a certificate. He showed me all the food that where he'd bought it and all these, you know. And I said, okay, I'm happy. And I sat down. So I sat down, and I, you know, we got talking. He was the manager, and he sat down with me whilst I was eating. And I said to him, brother, you're living in a village here. You know, there's no masjid here. There's no Muslims here. There's nothing here. Why are you here? And he said, I'm here to protect my iman. You know, Hafizab, I was shocked. And I said, why? What do you mean? How can you protect your iman here in a small village? Yeah, where, you know, there's no masjid. There's no community. And he said to me, I lived in a certain town. And that town is famous for, you know, many, many Muslims. Many, many masjids there. And I said, yes. So why did you leave that town? He said, one Friday, someone stood up and asked the Imam Sahib, that Imam Sahib, we know that to drink alcohol is haram. But what if we sell alcohol? Is selling haram as well? Now, obviously, Afsab, we know that in our deen teaches us that selling alcohol is haram as well. But the problem was that this Imam, some of the committee members, they had wine shops and they were selling alcohol. So he was cautious of now what to say because he was scared of his job. Astaghfirullah. You know, this is a lesson for us that we should never be scared of losing our job. And so this Imam Sahib, he said that selling alcohol is haram. However, if you donate some of the profit towards the masjid, then it is okay. So that person, he said to me, look, brother, how can I live in a place like that? I've come here with my family. I've come here with my children. And we're going to live here. We're going to protect our iman and we're going to safeguard our iman here. And that right, it really hit me that, you know, here in the UK, we see a lot of people that are selling alcohol and think nothing of it. They think it's okay because, oh, we're selling it. We're not selling it to the Muslims. The Muslims aren't buying it. So it's okay. And we don't consider that that is haram. Selling alcohol is haram. You know, there's 10 people that have been, you know, mentioned of those people that have been prohibited with regards to halal, carrying it, making it, you know, distributing it. All of these people. It's prohibited to all of us. And unfortunately, we just think that drinking it is haram as well. So I think as Muslims, Hafizab, that, you know, we need to educate ourselves on these topics. Like I said at the beginning that earlier on, I mentioned it, Hafizab, that I have not come across a Muslim, and maybe you have. I've not come across a Muslim that eats pork. But I've come across many Muslims that'll sell drugs, sell alcohol, commit adultery, drink, you know, do all sorts of sins. But that one pinnacle, and so we think that, you know, that is halal and that is haram and that is it, and there's nothing more to it. And I think that's where we are failing, Hafizab.
And you see, you mentioned the key thing, which is knowledge. But a step further than that, to be in that environment. Because look, shaitan is there, nafsul ammara is there. We need to constantly be in that, you know, good environment, that Islamic environment. Like, of course, Dawat Islami provides this. Where there's constant motivation and encouragement, where there's constant learning and teaching and learning. so that we reform ourselves, we reform our family members. Because the one thing we cannot compromise is our deen, our iman, our Islam, our loyalty to Allah Azza wa Jalla and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because there's accountability. Whatever I'm going to do, maybe there's a short-term pleasure, there's a short-term profit, but if it's from haram and illicit means and avenues, from those avenues and sources, there's accountability for it in the hereafter. There's punishment in this world. There's punishment in the grave and the hereafter as well. There's so many ways of earning halal. If I put my mind to it, if I put my effort and I, you know, sacrifice some time just to earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and to earn halal as well, I can do it. Now, don't I know about the consequences of, for example, getting involved in alcoholism, in drinking or buying drugs, gambling, all of these things which are a dead end? It's just going to take us towards ruin, you know, possible destruction of one's image, one's iman even. That, you know what, I'm doing all of these things. What's the next generation going to think of me? What are my children going to think of me if they find out that, you know what, our father was a drug dealer or he was selling alcohol? Maybe they'll be repulsed by me, or even worse, they may even follow in my footsteps. They may become drug dealers. They may become, you know, producers or sellers of alcohol. Is that what I want? Because I'm nourishing their body with this. I need to think, as you know, as a head of the family, as somebody, you know, maybe who has influence in society. I need to think. I need to obey Allah and obey His Rasul. That's the bottom line.
You know how you mentioned that. You know, a person that earns haram income, that it can affect his children, that they can also go in that path. I don't know about South Africa, and there are probably many, many cases there, that there are many instances here that forget earning, you know, the offspring earning haram income, they actually leave the fold of Islam. And, you know, then you start to think that why is this, you know, that it seems like a very good family, what has gone wrong here? And then when you look into it, you realize that all their lives, you know, they've been literally eating haram, feeding their children haram, and then ultimately that is having the effect on their children. They're going away from the deen of Islam. And so, you know, we're seeing this here as well. So I think, you know, this there's a saying in English, short-term gain, long-term pain. You may have the short-term gain of earning a lot of money quickly. You may have the short-term gain of being able to, you know, buy your house, buy your car, and buy all the things that you want. But in the long-term, there will be pain. In the long-term, something will happen, and it will affect you, it'll affect your children, and you might not realize it immediately, but that long-term pain is there. And I think it's very beautiful, Hafizab, that you mentioned that to us, that, you know, we might not see the effects of it. We might not see the effects of earning an haram income. We might see that the fact that, you know, I'm okay, aren't I? I've got nice clothes, I've got a nice house, I've got a nice car. Everything's okay for me. So, you know, what's the problem? But I think you rightly said that the problem might not happen necessarily directly to you.
It will come back to bite us.
It will come back to us. And then we will have our regrets. I remember many years ago, Hafizab, that we in Manchester, there's a place where there's a lot of restaurants there. It's quite a famous place. And there was a person sitting on the footstep of the road, and he was crying. And the brother asked him, "Why are you crying?" You know, and he said, "Do you see these buildings here? I own five or six of these buildings here." And he said to him, "If you own five or six of these buildings, why are you crying?" And he said that two of my children have left the fold of Islam. You know, what is the benefit of all of this money? And then, you know, we looked at the restaurants and they were all serving alcohol there as well. You know, this, it, like you say, it comes back to bite you. You might not realize. But even if, I think Hafizab, what's also very important to realize here is we need to mention that even if it doesn't come back to bite you in this dunya, it will bite you in the akhirat. There are consequences of our actions, and I think we need to take that on board. Hafizab, jazakallah for your time. Please look after yourself. Please remember myself, my family, and the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you meet any brothers in South Africa, please pass on my salam to them and do dua that we can meet again.
And to the brothers in UK, inshallah.
Jazakallah, Hafizab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and that was Hafiz Noshad from South Africa. MashaAllah, a very beautiful brother, a very active brother. I personally know the sacrifices that he has given for the deen of Islam. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla enable myself and many others to follow in the footsteps of these people that have sacrificed, you know, their time and their deen and their lives. You know, in fact, they're spending their whole lives in the deen of Islam. A great inspiration for myself. There are many, many brothers in South Africa that I'm inspired by, and Hafiz Nashat is one of those as well. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and today we're talking about the importance of eating halal. And mashallah, Hafiz Sahab gives a lot of motherly pearls that with regards to, you know, living in the West, the things that the precautions that we need to do, the checks that we need to do, not only, you know, taking that certification for guaranteed, but doing our checks. It's our responsibility to make sure, you know, that what we eat is halal. We cannot just, oh, well, it is, isn't it? You know, it's our responsibility. So please, viewers on the channel, take that on board. We're going to go to a kalam of the day, inshallah. Let's go to that. And inshallah, when we come back, we're going to continue talking about this topic. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
حبیب صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. بیوٹیفل مناجات، بیوٹیفل دعا دیٹ یا اللہ مے آور ریپینٹنس بی ایکسیپٹڈ، مے آر توبہ بی ایکسیپٹڈ. آئی تھنک اٹس ویری امپورٹنٹ فار اس دیٹ وی سیک ریپینٹنس، ریپینٹ ان دا کورٹ آف اللہ فار آل آف آور شارٹ کمنگز. دیر مے بی ٹائمز دیٹ you switch off the light and think nobody can see you, close the door and think nobody can hear you, go to different places and think nobody knows you there. But Allah hears, Allah sees, Allah knows. There is nothing hidden from the court of Allah. And as Muslims we err, we make mistakes. Only the prophets are sinless, we are sinners. So we need to repent and we need to be honest. Repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal sincerely. And hopefully, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, that repentance will be accepted. And continue to repent, continue to repent, continue to repent. Don't think, well, I've done tawbah, it's enough now. No. Who knows which tawbah is accepted, which repentance is accepted. Continue to repent on a daily basis. Allah. Viewers of my channel, back to the topic of the day. You're watching Rise and Shine, and we're talking about the importance of earning, of eating halal. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam was reported to have said that a time will come upon people where men will not care about how he earned his wealth, whether it is by haram means or halal means. With regards to this particular hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Ta'ala stated, that is that people will get negligent in religion in the last era. They will badly get stuck in the financial worries. They will only care about accumulating and multiplying wealth without distinguishing between halal and haram fearlessly, as is common these days. And this is what's happening nowadays. Society is putting pressure on you to have the new car. Society is putting pressure on you to have the bigger house. It's not enough to have a small terraced house. It's got to be a detached or a semi-detached house. You've got to have a conservatory there. You've got to have an attached bathroom there. You've got to have a modern kitchen there. You've got to have all of these modern appliances there in your house. And so society is putting pressure on you to have all of these things. And as a result of that, your concern is not where the money is coming from. Your concern is, as long as I get the money, then that's all that matters. And what happens is as a society, we succumb to these needs. We succumb to this peer pressure. Normally when we talk about peer pressure, we talk about peer pressure for children, that children are succumbed by peer pressure. But even adults succumb to this peer pressure of, you know, we've got to have a certain type of car. We've got to have a 7-seater car. We've got to have a certain type of house. We've got to live in a certain area. We've got to have a certain kitchen. We've got to have a certain bathroom. We've got to have these certain things in our house. Why? Yeah. And okay, I'm not saying any of them things are haram. All the things are jais, but what we need to do is that we need to focus on the fact that are we not, as a result of succumbing to that, that we want this, we want this, we want this, we don't care where it's coming from. And that is what the problem is. It is stated in another hadith that a time will come upon people when the religion of a religious person will not remain safe
except for the person who runs from one mountain to the other, from one hole to the other, in order to protect his religion. At that time, one will not be able to earn a living without displeasing Allah Azza wa Jal. And when faced with this situation, man will suffer destructiveness at the hands of his own wife and children. And if there is no wife and children, he will suffer destructiveness at the hands of his parents. If there are no parents, he will suffer destructiveness at the hands of his relatives and neighbors. And the Blessed Companion said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how will this happen? And he replied, they will make him ashamed of poverty. And at that time, he will go to the places of destructiveness. Allahu Akbar. Views on the channel. I remember once, me and my blessed wife, we went to someone's house. They just got a new house. And, you know, she went round the back. I was sat in the front. And we had tea, biscuits there, and we were talking. And then when we left, we got in the car, and I said to my wife, I said, is the sister happy? Oh, yeah, yeah, she's very happy. She showed me the kitchen, she showed me the bathroom, she showed me the garden, she showed me this, she showed me that. And then about 5 minutes later, she said to me, why did you ask? And I said, the brother, I, the husband of that sister, in the front room, he was sitting there crying, saying that, how can I afford this? I can't afford this. And now my wife wants a 7-seater car. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And, you know, when I actually said to him, come to the masjid, come, he said, I haven't got time, you know? He openly admitted he didn't read his namaz because he hasn't got time to read his namaz because he has to earn this money. Because of the pressure that we are getting, that he was getting from his family to have this nice house, nice car. So please, family members, don't put pressure on each other for this material world. You know, if you want to put pressure on people, put pressure on them to fulfill the pleasure of Allah. Put pressure on them to read the namaz on a daily basis. Put pressure on them to read the Quran. But don't put pressure on them to fulfill this material world. And what happens is this society tells you to get into debt. And once you get into debt, you're in debt, 10,000, what's 10,000, what's 12,000, what's 15,000? Because what's the difference between 10 and 12? What's the difference between 12 and 5? You're already in debt. So as a society, we need to try and restructure our lives. And our aim, our focus should be to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. Viewers of the channel, I just looked at the time then. We've come to the end of the program. There is so much I wanted to say on this topic, and inshallah, we'll cover it in another day, inshallah. So I hope that we can make a change in our lives. I ask you all to pray for me, my family, and all of the Ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You've been watching Arise and Shine. Until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end. And the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.